Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got quite a few rumors to go through. We've been hearing most of this weekend about delays for Giga Berlin. We'll talk about that situation. We've got a handful of exciting rumors as well, another S&P inclusion for Tesla, news on Giga Austin, and a couple other stories to discuss. Quick look at the stock to start off the week. Tesla today finishing down 3.5%, I think amidst some of those rumors about Giga Berlin, closing at $684.90. That compared to the NASDAQ, which was down 0.5% on the day. All right, so capturing the most attention this weekend has been the report from Automobilwoche in Germany. They claim to have an exclusive report that Tesla has delayed Giga Berlin, saying, quote, "The start of series production in Tesla's new Gigafactory in Grünheide, near Berlin, has been delayed by 6 months until the end of January 2022. Tesla boss Elon Musk officially gave the team half a year more," reports Automobilwoche, citing company circles, end quote. So this then got picked up kind of all over the place. We had Bloomberg report on this, MarketWatch report on this, etc. And this, of course, follows the news that we had discussed last week that Tesla had adjusted their approval permit application to include battery cell production. As we discussed in that episode, that may cause further delays because the permit may need to then go through the public feedback process again. And we have already seen Tesla express their dismay with the approval process, how it's been going so far, before even these adjustments. So I say that because a delay overall wouldn't be all that surprising. A delay until the end of January 2022 would be a little bit more than I would expect, though. And we did hear Tesla give us an update on this in their most recent shareholder letter from Q1 earnings, where they said the build-out of Giga Berlin is, quote, "continuing to move forward with production and deliveries remaining on track for late 2021. Machinery for paint, stamping, castings, etc. continues to be moved into the building. In the meantime, we will continue to increase import volumes to Europe," end quote. So this was just last week, they're saying late 2021, and we also saw them simultaneously update the design studio estimated timeline for delivery for Model Y in Germany, from previously saying production mid-2021 to deliveries end 2021. So obviously things can change and will change pretty quickly, especially with a company like Tesla, but this was just last week. That makes it a little bit harder to believe a rumor that is now saying end of January 2022. Further calling into question these rumors are new comments made today by Brandenburg State Minister of Economics, Jörg Steinbach, who has frequently provided insight into the Giga Berlin project in the past. Tesla already doing some great journalism here. They got an interview with Jörg Steinbach, and he said, quote, "I don't have the faintest idea of how anyone can come up with a six-month delay. If nothing happens out of the ordinary, I still expect a start of production in late summer or early autumn," end quote. He describes that as being approximately 3 months of delay, so I think if originally they had targeted July, a three-month delay on that would be October, so that would fit with the end of summer, early autumn timeframe. End of summer is technically September 22nd. So going back to the Automobilwoche report, I think there are at least some details there that are probably not accurate. Again, they're saying that Elon Musk has given official confirmation of a six-month delay. That doesn't really seem like Elon Musk's style in the first place, and it doesn't fit as well with the other information that we have. So right now, I'm not going to put all that much weight into this rumor, especially with these comments from Jörg Steinbach, but I'm also not ready to completely dismiss it. If the first deliveries ended up happening in January of 2022, I wouldn't be all that surprised. Mostly for me, that comes down to still the open question of how this application approval process goes, and if Tesla's requested adjustments there cause any further delays. Remember when we talked through that episode, perhaps there would be some initial delay, but overall Tesla could feel like this benefits the entire project as a whole, so maybe they're sacrificing a little bit of time up front to remove some time later on. Also worth noting again that we have tended to see Tesla start delivering at the beginning of a quarter, so if production actually doesn't start until October, Tesla might work through the initial kinks of production in Q4, and then actually start deliveries there in Q1. Regardless of where this ends up though, production starts in July, October, next January, to me it's pretty inconsequential. Of course, the sooner the better for the stock and for the company, but Tesla's got plenty of runway, they're not worried at all from a cash flow perspective. So a small delay may be a little bit disappointing, but not at all concerning, and the timeline, even if it is January or later, has still been quite fast, and it's not so much about that initial production date as it is to how quickly Tesla can actually ramp up, start doing good volume from that factory. So of course, we'll continue to watch that closely, but that is all the information we have on Berlin for now. We'll get to a couple more interesting rumors here in a second, but first I wanted to go through another S&P inclusion for Tesla that happened on Friday. Friday was the rebalancing date for the S&P 500 ESG index, ESG standing for Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance. So essentially this is an index of S&P 500 companies, but with notable exclusions, thermal coal, tobacco, controversial weapons, and low ESG scores, essentially excluding companies that fall in the bottom 25% on ESG scoring. So I think it's a good concept. Personally, I don't love how the ESG scoring is handled. Tesla actually scores pretty low on this, and there was some concern that Tesla might not actually make it into this index because of their low score. They got a 22 out of 100, with their score being dragged down quite a bit by social metrics, only a 6 out of 100 there. That includes things like philanthropy and human capital development. I think obviously there are some flaws here. But nevertheless, in the announcement of the rebalance last week for the S&P 500 ESG, Tesla was listed as an addition. So this rebalancing would have happened on Friday. Of course, we saw the stock up on Friday, but all of this would have happened during the closing cross trade, just like we talked about during the S&P 500 inclusion. And that really happens in the final 5 to 10 minutes. Tesla was already solidly up by that point in the day. Furthermore, if you remember back to when we analyzed the S&P 500 inclusion, you can see that there's really no comparison here. With more than $4.6 trillion tracking the S&P 500 directly, that meant that with that inclusion, those tracking funds needed to buy more than 100 million shares of Tesla, more than 14% of the float. That created huge demand for shares, and that's before even including funds that are benchmarked against the S&P 500 performance. The S&P 500 ESG has nowhere near that amount of assets tracking it. S&P lists 14 different exchange-traded funds that do track it, and while it's a little bit difficult to find the assets under management for all of them, it looks to me like that number is about $2 billion, so 0.04% of the S&P 500 index as a whole. Tesla seems to have been added at a weight somewhere around 1.6%, so those tracking funds would have only needed to buy about $32 million worth of Tesla shares, 45,000 shares, which, yeah, if you do that whole trade all at once, it's going to boost the stock a little bit, but for all intents and purposes, pretty much inconsequential. That said, ESG investing, interest in ESG investing is growing, so it's good for Tesla to be in this as that does grow. And there could be a fair amount of funds out there that maybe aren't benchmarked or tracking the S&P 500 ESG, but maybe they use that as a layer of filtering to narrow down their investment choices. That's certainly possible, and again, something I think we'll see more and more as time goes by. So maybe not huge news, but still good news. All right, next up here is a handful of rumors. This is coming from Reddit. Maybe normally we wouldn't talk about this, but this is actually coming from the subreddit moderator for Tesla Motors subreddit, user 110110, and I do find this person to be a good source of information, so we are going to talk about them, but as they say themselves, take these with a grain of salt. Quote, many things change often, but just putting this out there so there's something fun to discuss on the possibilities. Some tips turn out to be accurate, some not. These few things that were sent my way is public info and can apparently be found online, end quote. First one here says, quote, refreshed Model S long range can near 500 miles of range, going the speed limit, and not using HVAC heavily, end quote. So I don't think this one should be too surprising. Tesla does list the EPA range on the refreshed Model S at 412 miles. To get somewhere near 500 miles of range, maybe we're talking 490, you're looking at maybe getting 20% better efficiency than what the EPA rating would be, which if you're going 55 miles per hour, which it doesn't say the exact speed, but let's assume somewhere around there, and you're in good temperatures and you work the battery all the way through any buffer, getting somewhere around that, probably not too surprising, but I think it is encouraging. It maybe means that the EPA range is more realistic for most use cases. Obviously, we'll have to see in real world testing, but it is encouraging because, as we have speculated before, I do think Tesla is actually going with a smaller battery pack here in these new vehicles based on the significant drop in weight that we saw with the refresh. Thinking out loud here, that maybe even makes me question that a little bit because, I don't know, let's say it's a 93 kilowatt hour pack. If Tesla's getting 490 miles of range out of that, regardless of the circumstances, that would only be about 190 watt hours per mile, which, I don't know, maybe that's unrealistically low. So maybe those weight savings are really just higher energy density rather than the combination of higher energy density and fewer batteries, or more properly, less energy capacity in total. But then there's still the question of, okay, why didn't the EPA range improve more? So, I don't know, maybe if there is the same energy capacity, then maybe the listed range is more conservative than it was in the past. So either Tesla's lowballing it here or they have massive improvements in efficiency. It'll be fun to see how that adds up. Anyway, let's get into the second rumor here, which says that Tesla is interested in custom design plus PPF from the factory. PPF there being paint protective film, which those of you that have watched the video on me protecting my car have seen. A lot of Tesla owners do this. It would have saved me a rock chip having it done at the factory, as I couldn't get my car in until I had around 1,000 miles already on it. Tesla already has shown some interest in this space. They pretty quietly added to the shop paint protective film for the Model 3 and the Model Y. So I think there's probably some validity to these rumors. And for the custom design, I would assume that refers to a wrap, which is usually what you're seeing if you see some crazy colored Tesla out there. And we actually saw Tesla for a bit start offering that service in China. I'm not sure if that's still ongoing. But with the Cybertruck coming and not having any options there for paint, I'm sure Tesla is very interested in this space as tons of owners are going to be looking to wrap their Cybertrucks. The third rumor here, and probably the most interesting, says, quote, "This week we may see a small FSD beta version 9 release. We may get some video plus pics from current social media people. Some people already have FSD beta 9 and software version 11, but aren't allowed to talk about it. FSD beta is already being used by employees in other countries outside the US," end quote. So, super exciting to see that. Not a whole lot more to add to that other than to just say, as a reminder, last week Elon did say probably 2 weeks from FSD beta version 9 rollout. Though again, that was in response to a question about a limited rollout of version 9, so don't get your hopes up quite yet for the FSD beta button. Last one here, this is one we knew about, but it says that there's an air quality sensor in the new S and X, and you can get a read on the air quality in the vehicle as well as the internal and external temperatures. So I think we've talked about that, but at some point there was a photo of the refreshed S display, and it did show that air quality index. So I think that's pretty much confirmed, but it is good to know that that is from a sensor and not just downloading that data online. All right, next up here, we've got a little bit of news on Giga Texas. This is coming from Joe Tegmeyer, who I think with the help of some commenters was able to find a new project permit for Giga Texas. If we look under the details of this permit, under project name, it is listed as the Bobcat Project, and the construction area is listed as just over 150 acres, or about 61 hectares. So Joe did some super helpful mapping here of just the Giga Texas property that Tesla's got, with the green here falling under a previous permit. That's where Tesla has done a lot of the construction work so far. And then the yellow, Joe's best guess on the Project Bobcat area, which already does have some construction ongoing, and there is some construction outside of these areas as well. So not sure exactly how much insight this new permit gives us. Probably not a whole lot, but it does give us a better sense of scale of where Tesla is doing work right now at Giga Texas. And the Project Bobcat name is interesting. There's a lot of speculation that the battery cathode plant would be in this area. So maybe that's why it's Bobcat. Battery cathode could be Batcat, but obviously Bobcat sounds a little bit better than that. All right, last couple of things here. First up is some videos that have been going around the social media channels in China of Tesla brakes specifically not failing where other vehicles have. So I think there's three of these going around, all kind of the same deal. Ray for Tesla sharing one out, Tesla Mania sharing one out, basically showing the scene from car accidents where a lead car has stopped suddenly and a car has rear-ended it, maybe another car then rear-ending that car, and then so on down the chain. And in each of these videos, there's a Tesla in the middle of the chain where it actually has not rear-ended the car in front of it, but then the Tesla is rear-ended by another car. So Tesla's just kind of in the middle of the chain with a gap in between. So either those drivers were paying more attention than everyone else, or the automatic emergency braking worked better, but definitely shows Tesla in a positive light, especially when there's been all of this, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt being spread around Tesla brakes somehow not working. All right, lastly, some fun news for Tesla in Israel. This is from Calculist per Tesmanian. They're reporting that a ship carrying 1,500 Tesla Model 3s was set to arrive in Israel this weekend, which is apparently more than the total number of electric vehicles that were sold in Israel in all of 2020. As we have talked about, the Model 3 is very competitively priced in Israel, and it's awesome to see the impact that that's having on the EV market in the country as Tesla starts delivering. Oh, one other quick note, looking ahead to tomorrow, could be a huge day for SpaceX. They are scheduled to have a Starlink launch at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. UTC. And we may also see a Starship SN15 test flight, so could be two launches for SpaceX tomorrow, weather permitting on the Starlink launch. And then for Starship, it's always a bit of a mystery up until that does finally happen. But there is a possibility of that being tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. But that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, May 4th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.